Herzlich willkommen zur 260. Ausgabe von CropFM. Mein Gast heute Abend ist Sam aus Maganich und es geht um das bosnische Tal der Pyramiden. Und auch heute gibt es wieder den CropCom, jenen Live-Chat, mit dem man sich live an diesem Gespräch heute Abend beteiligen kann. Erreichbar über die Website von CropFM, cropfm.at oder auch www.cropfm.at. Einfach einsteigen und mir die Fragen reintippen und ich versuche sie dann an den Telefongast weiterzugeben. In dieser Sendung gibt es einen Newsletter, den kann man gratis beziehen von der Website von CropFM, www.cropfm.at. Man kann mir sehr gerne mailen, mit der Beantwortung dauert es manchmal doch etwas, bitte um Entschuldigung dafür, aber ich lese sie alle und gebe mir Mühe, sie halbwegs zeitgerecht zu beantworten, wenn was dazu zu sagen ist. Das Ganze erscheint, die E-Mail-Adresse natürlich cropfm@moore.at oder eben vom Mail-Link von der Startseite aus Podcast. Gibt es natürlich auch zu dieser Sendung. Alle Sendungen erscheinen als Podcast, als auch herunterladbar vom Archiv. Im Archiv kann man einzelne Sendungen mit der Direkt-Link-Funktion, das ist der Link gleich unterm Titel, in Foren von YouTube aus, wo immer es angemessen oder passend erscheint, verlinken. Das Forum wird betreut von Valador, Unarmed, Wingman und Eraser und befüllt von den Hörerinnen und Hörern dieser Sendung mit spannenden Beiträgen, Artikeln und Diskussionen. Auch das Coverbild ist heute wieder von Matthias Töpfer gemacht. Man sieht diese Pyramide und diesen Strahl, den man da sieht, den werden wir heute noch besprechen. Das ist wirklich sehr erstaunlich. Das CropFM-Shirt gibt es ebenfalls von der Startseite aus rechts oben, einen Link auf den Kick-Shop-Eintrag. Versand nach Deutschland leider etwas teuer, aber ansonsten eigentlich alles beim Alten. Ja, und spenden kann man mir natürlich auch sehr gerne. Der Spendenlink findet sich ganz am Anfang von der Seite oder auch im Past Shows Archiv oben links. Und an dieser Stelle wie immer ein sehr großes Danke an alle, die die Gelegenheit schon wahrgenommen haben. Gehostet wird das Ganze hier von Fetznetz. Gerd Brandner waltet über der Konsole und schaut, dass das Ganze hier rund läuft. Irgendwann dieses Monat, Anfang nächster Woche, steht dann auch der Move auf einen viel größeren Server an. Hoffentlich klappt das, kann also Ausfälle geben. Aber jedenfalls fetznetz.it, das ist der Hoster dieser Sendung und dieser Website. Die neue neueste Ausgabe der Matrix 3000 ist auch in den Geschäften, die Juli-August-Ausgabe 2011 nämlich. Das Magazin für Neues Denken, diesmal mit Beiträgen von Franz Bluderf zum Bilderberg-Treffen 2011, Richard R. Köcher über die Entbindung der freien Energie, wie man die Kräfte des Universums anzapfen kann und vieles mehr an Information und Inspiration in der 64. Ausgabe der Matrix 3000. Schatzsucher finden mysteriöse Kreisstruktur am Grunde der Ostsee. Auf Grenzwissenschaft aktuell erschienen dieser Artikel, wie die schwedische Zeitung Aftonbladet, keine Ahnung, wie man das richtig ausspricht, berichtet, zeigen die Aufnahmen des Sonars in 87 Meter Tiefe eine kreisartige Struktur von 60 Metern Durchmessern und unmittelbar daneben eine weitere Veränderung des sonstigen Untergrundbodens, die von den Schatzsuchern als eine Art gewaltige Schleifspur gedeutet wird und eine Länge von etwa 300 Metern aufweist. Fast sieht es so aus, als sei dieses runde Objekt zunächst über den Meeresboden geglitten, bevor es dann zum Liegen kam, zitiert die Zeitung den Chef des Schatzsucherunternehmens Peter Lindberg. Und all diese Artikel, die ich hier vorlese, finden sich natürlich in der News-Sektion von CropFM, www.cropfm.at, und dann gleich auf der Startseite ein bisschen runterscrollen und dort findet man dann diese Artikel verlinkt, oder sie sind auch von den Sendungseinträgen verlinkt, nämlich genau die, die ich dann zu dieser Sendung behandelt habe. Rätselhafte Lichtsphäre im erdnahen Weltraum, ein weiterer News-Eintrag, und zwar auf der Standard. Was war geschehen? Zu sehen sind zunächst der nächtliche Sternenhimmel und ein nur vage auszumachender Horizont. Plötzlich erscheint eine kleine Lichtkugel an der Grenze zwischen Himmel und Erde, die sich innerhalb kurzer Zeit zu einer gigantischen, kontinuierlich blasser werdenden Sphäre aufbläht, bis sie beinahe das gesamte Bild ausfüllt und schließlich verschwindet. Das Phänomen beginnt um etwa 3.39 Uhr in der Früh, also ist noch dunkel zu dieser Zeit, und verliert seine Sichtbarkeit gegen 3.45 Uhr. Dauert also insgesamt etwas mehr als 5 Minuten. Video ist vorhanden und es ist sehenswert. Wer irgendeine Idee hat, was das sein könnte, da wäre ich gespannt. Mein heutiger Gast, Sam Osmanagic, ist Autor von 10 Büchern über alte Zivilisationen und vor allem auch die weltweit zu findenden Pyramiden. Die sind tatsächlich weltweit zu finden und er hat sich einige dieser angeschaut, vor allem in Südamerika. 2005 entdeckte er direkt neben der Stadt Sarajevo ein Objekt, das die größte Pyramide der Welt sein könnte. 220 Meter hoch ist sie und erste Ausgrabungen und Untersuchungen haben die Vermutung, dass es sich um einen künstlichen Berg handelt, bestätigt. Das Alter der bosnischen Sonnenpyramide, wie sie genannt wird, wird auf über 10.000 Jahre geschätzt und somit wäre sie ein ebenso eindrucksvoller wie aufschlussreicher Kandidat, um etwas Licht in unsere Vergangenheit zu bringen, die offenbar viel spannender verlaufen ist, als wir in der Schule gelernt haben. Und ja, Sam Osmanagic über das bosnische Tal der Pyramiden, jetzt gleich auf CropFM. Yeah, bei mir zu Gast ist Sam Osmanagić. Hello, Sam. Very glad to have you on my show. Can you hear me well?
Hello, good evening. I'm glad to be there.
Yeah, it's very glad to have you on. This is very fascinating, a very fascinating discovery that you have made in 2005 in Bosnia, right near the city of Sarajevo. And it's really weird in a way, because people have been living beside this mountain for years, and they just never realized what they were living beside, which is really astonishing, isn't it?
Well, yes, you see, we live in exciting times. For the longest time, Egyptologists have been telling us that the Egyptian pyramids were built as the tombs of the pharaohs. And in the history books, all they mention are the pyramids in Egypt and Mexico. And the truth is, those history books are wrong. We need to change them, rewrite them, because the pyramids had been built on all six continents. So it really did not come to me as a big surprise that the pyramids are even on European soil.
Yeah. Now, can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yes, please. Yes. So my name is Dr. Samir Sam Osmanagić. And my PhD is in Mayan civilization. You know, the first 3 years of my life, I lived in Bosnia, and then last 20 years, I've been in the United States, in Houston. And about 2.5 decades, I've been very interested in investigating the ancient civilizations and the pyramids in particular. I have been traveling all over the world, on all continents. You know, I've been researching pyramids in Peru, Bolivia, Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras, Belize, Salvador, or Canary Islands, Mauritius, Egypt, China, all over the place. And what I could notice was that the pyramids are not local scenario. They are the worldwide concept. It's one thing. And the other thing, most of them, like Chinese, most of Egyptian, most of Peruvian, all Cahokia pyramids on the U.S. soil are perfectly oriented to the north. Then I realized that it had to be communication between the continents a long time ago. Either we had a super civilization or several very advanced civilizations on the planet, much, much before than what we thought it was possible.
Yes, and indeed, remnants of this civilization, whenever it was at its height and whenever it went under, can be found all over the world. I mean, I just had Heinrich Kusch on the air this year at the beginning, and he's investigating a very, very extended underground tunneling system here in Styria, just where I live. And so, I mean, and for, of course, Klaus Dohna, he did the Mysteries exhibitions. I think you've heard about him. He has just collected astonishing evidence from all over the world. And the thing is, no one really wants to look at it, except some very brave man like you.
Let's put it this way. During the 20th century, we thought that we knew everything about our planet. You know, we went to the moon, and we thought there was no secrets on our planet. And we were so wrong. Our knowledge is so weak. There were very advanced civilizations in a distant past. We live, last 8,000 years, only in the last cycle of human history. As you know, it started with Sumer, Babylon, Akkad, Assyria, ancient Egypt, ancient India. But it was just the last cycle before this one. There was another one, which you know, was interrupted by this global catastrophe. But in the previous cycle, there were very, you know, vast civilizations like those in Baalbek in Lebanon, who were able to move 1,200 tons in weight, who were building pyramidal structures, and now they are on the bottom of the Pacific floor, close to Japan and Thailand. We had pyramids in know, right now on the Caribbean floor, Atlantic floor, and so on.
So also,
we need to realize also we are not first, you know, advanced humans on the planet.
Yeah, so also underwater they find extensive structures and very strange objects sometimes. Sam, just one thing. Please keep your phone close to your mouth because you sometimes break up a little bit. So just
all
to
right.
make sure everyone can understand you good. Yes, one very astonishing aspect is that there are very extended structures, for example, at the coast of Japan and South America and so on. And you say there are also underground pyramids.
Well, they're under the water, you know.
Underwater pyramids.
Yes, Caribbean waters, but also Pacific, of course, the Nagumi monuments. So, you know, my investigation were telling me, hey, the pyramids were a worldwide phenomenon. So when I first came to Bosnia in a little town of Visoko, which is about 30 kilometers northwest from the capital city of Sarajevo, and I saw the hill with the regular geometry, triangular faces, obvious corners, and I took the compass. And the compass showed me perfect match with the cardinal points, east, west, north, south. I immediately knew that in front of me were the first European pyramids. Even though they were covered by soil and vegetation, that was no surprise for me, because most of the pyramids on the planet are in the same condition, covered by layers and layers of soil, like 250 pyramids in China, almost 10,000 pyramids in Mexico, Guatemala, Salvador. They all have about 1 meter coverage of dirt and vegetation. So it really did not confuse me. Even though most of the people, when you mention the word pyramid, they immediately go to Egypt, to desert, and Giza Plateau, but people have to realize that after thousands of years, in different climate conditions, like Bosnia, China, or Mexico, we have the situation of pyramids, man-made structures, covered by dirt. So that was in April of 2005. While standing on the top of the biggest pyramid at that moment, I named it the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun. I looked on the other side of the valley and I could notice the perfect geometry of the other hill. Three triangular faces, perfect orientation, plateau on the top. And I named that one the Bosnian Pyramid of the Moon. So, in the last 6 years, we have spent 340,000 hours in archaeological excavation, sample testing, and radiocarbon dating, and we have concluded that in this little town of Visoko, we have the Valley of the Pyramids, and it consists of five pyramidal structures, which we named Bosnian Pyramids of the Sun, Moon, Earth, Dragon, and Love. And under the Valley of the Pyramids is a huge network of tunnels, intersections, chambers, and underground lakes. So it's a huge complex. Somebody made master plan in distant past, and then they executed it as the biggest pyramidal complex on the planet.
So we're not talking just of one pyramid. It's called the Bosnian Valley of the Pyramids, as you said, and there are five of them, which is really astonishing. And the Pyramid of the Moon also is 190 meters high, and the highest one, which is just beside Sarajevo, is 220 meters high, which is just unbelievable. One listener asked me before the show, if there's any footage in HD video, in high quality video, is there anything that people can look at the web, which is in high resolution?
Of course, the quickest way is just to search for the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, and it will give you a lot of YouTube material. But then we have to realize that the dimensions which you just mentioned are so, you know, history changing. So far, we thought that the biggest pyramid is the Cheops, the Great Pyramid of Egypt, with a height of 147 meters. But the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, with its height of 220 meters, is much higher. And even the Moon Pyramid, like you mentioned, you know, with 190 meters, is higher than Egyptian. So there had to be a big reason why they built those structures here in the heart of Bosnia. And I would say that our investigation so far has produced history-changing elements. There are seven of them. Number one, these are officially first pyramids in Europe. Number two, they are the biggest, the largest structure in the shape of the pyramid on the planet. Number three, the orientation of the northern side of the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun is the most precise orientation towards the north. So far we thought it was the Egyptian Cheops Pyramid, which has the error of 0 degrees and 2 minutes towards the cardinal north. In the case of Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, it's even more precise. The error is 0 degrees, 0 minutes, and only 12 seconds. This is according to the Bosnian State Institute for Geodesy. The element number four is, once we start removing the soil from the Sun Pyramid, we are finding the rectangular blocks. We have analyzed them in 6 institutes for materials. 4 of them in Bosnia, 1 in Italy, Politecnico di Torino, and 1 in France, Institute for Geopolymer. And they all told us the same thing. This is a man-made concrete of exceptional quality, 2 times harder than our modern concrete. Number five, element number five is the age of the pyramid. They've been covered, you know, by soil and vegetation. And according to the Institute for Pedology from Bosnia, the soil is approximately 12,000 years old. Now, remember, Egyptian pyramids are officially 4,500 years. Mexican, Chinese, and Peruvian officially between 2,000 and 3,000 years. Now, Bosnians are much, much older. And, you know, we got radiocarbon datings of the organic material found on pyramids. And according to the Polish Institute in Gliwice, Silesian Institute for Technology, the age of the terraces in the pyramids is 10,350 years, plus minus 50 years. In other words, those pyramids in Bosnia are the oldest pyramids on the planet. So these are 5 elements. The element number 6, we have to go underground. Under the pyramid is the most extensive underground tunnel network, which runs for tens of kilometers. And number 7, in those tunnels, we are discovering the huge megalithic blocks. We analyzed them, and we were told this was a ceramic material, geopolymer ceramic, which means man-made material, and their weight, their mass, is 8 tons. So this is the biggest geopolymer ceramic discovered so far on the planet. So those 7 elements forever change the way we view European and the world history.
So you also made carbon datings of some of the excavations that you already did. Now, a lot of people, of course, saying, well, no, this is just a mountain that by accident is looking like a pyramid. Of course, you have shown that the orientation to the north is even more precise than in Egypt. And the other pyramids, there are 5, as you say, but they are also in a certain geometrical relationship toward each other.
Yes, exactly. Well, we know from the past investigation in Egypt and Mexico, there's those three pyramids in Egypt, you know, Cheops, Khafre, and Mesarim, and three pyramids in Mexico, in city of Teotihuacan, Sun, Moon, and Quetzalcoatl. They have the same layout. And some of the independent researchers, like Boal, they think that they match the layout of three stars in Orion Belt. So there is probably the connection between the astronomical features and what people are building on the planet. But in our case, that that connection is even more obvious, namely three main pyramids, the Sun, Moon, and Dragon. In Bosnia, one of the pyramids form the perfect triangle. So if you take the topographic map and you connect the tops of the pyramids of the Sun, Moon, and Dragon, you get the distance of 2,170 meters from Sun to Moon, 2,170 from Moon to Dragon, 2,170 meters when you go back from Dragon to the Sun. So inner angles are at 60 degrees, so obviously somebody very carefully planned the pyramid layout and then they built it.
And of course, I mean, if these structures are artificial, as you say, as a lot of people now claim, then it should be fairly easy to find out by just kind of digging into the soil which covers those pyramids, and then one should find the structure. Now, you did this, and what did you find?
Well, in the case of the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, we have opened 17 archaeological trenches on all four sides, eastern, western, northern, and southern, on different heights, very close to the bottom and in the middle. And in the case of the, let's say, northern side, and western, and eastern, we were finding blocks. They had rectangular shape. Some of the blocks are 45, some of them are 75 centimeters thick. Their mass is in the range from 7 tons to 40 tons. And you can clearly see that somebody, you know, made them that way that they look like a true pyramid in Egypt. So there is a 45 degrees angle. And, you know, when we analyzed those materials in the institutes, they told us, well, the hardness is much better than what we have in the modern times. Namely, our concrete in 21st century are in the range from 10 to 40 megapascals. In the case of the concrete, hello?
Yes?
In the case of the concrete on the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, the hardness is from 67 megapascals to 134 megapascals. Never in human history such a good quality concrete was made like the one that covers the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun. In the case of the Moon Pyramid in Bosnia, the material which was used was different. What they did, they were using a sandstone. Sandstone is a very common construction material in central Bosnia. A lot of buildings were built using sandstone, even today, municipalities, town halls, museums, and so on. So for thousands of years, people knew that sandstone is ideal architectural material, very easy to shape, and then what they were doing in the case of the Moon Pyramid, they were making terraces from the sandstone, and they combined it with the clay. And clay is readily available material, a lot of clay in this area. So clay has the perfect properties. Number one, excellent as the binding material. The ancient Romans knew that 2,000 years ago, but the builders of Bosnian pyramids knew it thousands of years before the ancient Romans. Then the clay, another property is that it is, water resistant, it's waterproof. Number three, it is insulation, thermal insulation and audio insulation. And number five, in the case of earthquakes, those structures do not collapse. They breathe, you know, they are flexible. So the ancient people were smart. They were using the natural materials in order to build their, you know, buildings. And fortunately, we are able to tell the technological process, how did they do it. In the case of the rectangular blocks in the Bosnian terrain of the sun, they are adding some additives to improve the hardness. For example, they are adding the dust, the ground, the granite. They are getting the dust and they are mixing that, you know, granite into the concrete material so it would make it even harder. So, you know, we have some amazing properties here. And even though this project will last for decades, what we have discovered so far is very exciting.
The quality, unfortunately, is quite bad. I might think of maybe calling you back, Sam, because maybe we get a better line the second time around. What do you think?
Or, okay, we can do that.
Yeah, I think might be a good idea, because it's very interesting what you're telling us about, and I'd like people to be able to hear. Okay, I'll stay put and I'll just call you back, and let's hope that the second time around the quality is better, okay?
All right.
Get a little bit higher. I get a little bit pale. And I fall a little bit asleep then. I wake up and I'll be high again. No one cares about it. Fall a little bit deeper, and I become a little creep, and I may appear a little brighter, but I am so pale, and I say.
Okay, also wir haben jetzt, glaube ich, eine bisschen bessere Leitung. Hi Sam, welcome back.
Okay, I'm here.
Yeah, it does sound better, so let's see. All right, so we were just talking about, which is also about the pyramids and about the way they are built. When I understand you correctly, then the pyramid of the sun is built in a slightly different way than the one of the moon?
Well, that's true. We have two different designs. The Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun is built rather similar to Egyptian true pyramids. It has a slope of 45 degrees. That's the angle of the sides to the base. And the Pyramid of the Moon is what I call the terraced pyramids. You have terraces from sandstone plates and sandstone tiles, and those terraces are combined with the layers of clay. And clay has the perfect construction properties, and besides, clay was used extensively in the building of 250 pyramids in China. The ancient people were using the material which was readily available. And sometimes, like in the case of Egyptian pyramids, they had to go 900 kilometers south from Giza Plateau to get a high-quality granite. But in the case of Bosnia, they had all materials within 2 kilometers radius. Namely, in order to build the concrete blocks on the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, They needed materials like sand, pebbles, rocks. And they were finding it underground, namely when they built the tunnels. They built them in the material which is called conglomerate. It's a natural accumulation. And the conglomerate consists of pebbles, rocks, and sand. So in order to build tens of kilometers long underground network of tunnels and chambers, they had to remove a lot of sand and rocks. And what did they do with that material? They used it up completely in order to make those concrete blocks and cover the largest pyramids on the planet. So it's perfectly simple, clear, and genius.
One listener in the chat, we have a live chat here and people can ask questions during the show. He asked whether the different heights of the pyramids have any meaning. I mean, there are five pyramids and there are five heights of them. I mean, the highest 220, pyramid of the moon 190. Did you look at those numbers and what they might mean?
Well, we have been proving that there are very, direct astronomical relationship between the pyramids. Namely, during some very important dates, we can see the play between the shadow and the light. For example, the shadow of the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun, which has geometry of the triangle. In the morning, we can see the shadow in the Valley of the Pyramids. But as the sun moves on horizon, the shadow moves also towards the Bosnian Pyramid of the Moon. On the most important date for the ancient people, on a day of the summer solstice, June 21st, just before the sunset, we can see that the shadow of the Sun Pyramid forms another pyramid just next to the Moon Pyramid. And you can see them like in the mirror, left and right pyramid. And even the height of the pyramid is the same when you observe them from the top of the Sun Pyramid. So it seems that the ancient people first built the Pyramid of the Sun as the central object in the River Kos Valley of the pyramids, and then they were watching the movement of the shadow and the sunset. 2 months later, the end of the August, we can see that the shadow just before the sunset completely covers the Bosnian Pyramid of the Moon. And in symbolical way, it's telling us that the rule of the sun and the day is over, and the rule of the night and the moon starts. Such a perfect an obvious connection between the two pyramids, Sun and the Moon, is so direct in Bosnia, and I have never seen the same effect anywhere in the world, even though there are hundreds of the Sun and the Moon pyramids in the Central and South America. And the third connection, which we discovered rather recently, is when you look at the Sun when it's getting up during the summer solstice on June 21st, you can see that the first sun rays goes from the top of the Moon Pyramid and they are hitting the bottom of the northern side of the Sun Pyramid, probably indicating where one of the entrances to the pyramid might be. So it seems that we're going to need more and more astronomers involved in this project, because the layout of the pyramids, their heights, their mass, the volume is not coincidence. They made a perfect complex here. And I would say that the ancient people, they were incorporating so much astronomical, mathematical, geometrical knowledge in those structures that they were leaving the messages for us, future generations. Just we need to find a way to decode them and to decipher them.
So, if I summarize here, we have five massive pyramids, one of them, two of them, much higher than the highest known pyramids, overgrown, probably beyond 10,000 years old. You found quite some evidence that these are indeed artificial structures, because you, at the excavations, you find those stone plates, etc. They are aligned perfectly against the north. The shadow of the sun pyramid touches the pyramid of the moon at a certain day, I think at the summer solstice, you said, and so on and so forth. And there's massive tunneling beneath the pyramids, which reminds me of what is going on beneath Styria, where I live, and so on and so forth. So this alone is actually really a total mind blower, and this is in Europe, just south where I live. I think it's a 2-hour flight or so, maybe. Oh no, not even that, from Vienna. Well, quite close from here. But that's not all. I mean, you also discovered energetic anomalies in these pyramids that you are, we also should stress that, are investigating in a very interdisciplinary effort. So there are a lot of scientists of very different kinds and fields of expertise. There are Egyptologists from Egypt as well, and also other scientists that are looking not only at the pyramids, but also at a lot of anomalies that you found. One of them, a beam emanating from the pyramid of the sun. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? Because that is really...
Yes, gladly. You were right when you said that this project is interdisciplinary scientific project. You know, in most cases, the pyramids were investigated by the archaeologists and Egyptologists only. But, you know, one scientific discipline is simply not enough. We have to combine the classical sciences like archaeology, geology, paleontology, geodesy with the modern satellite techniques, thermal analysis, georadar analysis, infra, you know, analysis. So with all this analysis, we are getting closer and closer. And once we realize that astronomers have the place here, the experts for electromagnetic fields, the physicists, anthropologists, even the medicine anthropologists, then, you know, we are on the right track. In order to explain the pyramids, it's not enough to use our complete scientific methodology from the physical world. Because the pyramids, you can view them and understand them only if you look at them through three different realms: the physical, the energy, and spiritual. Let's go back to the square one, physical. We realize that we have a huge structures. But now the question is, what was their purpose? Obviously, the claims from Egyptologists in the last 200 years that all these pyramids in Egypt were used as tombs is a failure. We don't have a single proof that the Cheops pyramid was used as a tomb for the pharaoh Cheops. There is no Cheops mummy there. There is no Khafre's mummy in Khafre's pyramid. There is no Sneferu's mummy in all of three pyramids that they assigned to him. There are no Mycenae's mummy, and so on. Question is, what was the real purpose of those, you know, genius structures which we cannot repeat today with our technology? And it seems that we are doing some groundbreaking, pioneering steps. We employ a number of engineers from Croatia, Serbia, Italy, Finland, and other countries. And basically what they were telling us is that there are certain electromagnetic phenomena produced in and by the pyramids and also in the underground tunnel network. There are a total of five energy phenomena that we were able to measure so far using our modern instruments from the 21st century. Probably the most exciting phenomenon is electromagnetic phenomena, an energy beam emanating from the top of the Bosnian pyramid of the sun, namely on the very top in the central area of the plateau. We measured last year by the team of Croatian physicists from Zagreb the radius of 4.5 meter energy beam coming from the center of the pyramid going up. The frequency 28 kilohertz. Now, that's the frequency of the ultrasound, even though this is electromagnetic phenomenon. Ultrasound is electromechanic phenomenon. But in any case, we cannot hear and we cannot see this frequency because our sight and our ears can hear only from 20 hertz to 20 kilohertz. Everything above, you know, we cannot hear.
At best,
that was one phenomenon which was extraordinary because we noticed that as the energy beam moves away from the pyramid, it's getting stronger and stronger, meaning that, you know, as it goes to the universe, it's getting, you know, unusual strength, and probably you can reach with that beam any point in the visible universe. What does that mean? It means that we had a very advanced civilization who built the pyramids here in Bosnia, but also on the other side in the world. The second energy phenomenon was ultrasound. Thanks to the teams from Croatia, Serbia, Finland, and Italy, we have measured the presence of ultrasound. That's something, you know, higher than what we can hear. But also, the infrasound was measured. That was below what we can hear. Then we measured electric and magnetic phenomena. For all these five phenomena, you have to have artificial source. So, you know, our planet does not produce those, you know, electromagnetic and other phenomena just by, you know, itself. You have to have the source. And when we were investigating the tunnel network, you know, we could notice that wherever you have underground water, you have huge megalithic blocks that they are actually geopolymer ceramic, man-made ceramic. They are placed on the top of those underground rivers. Now, we know that whenever you have underground water flow, you have the energy flow. And that energy is hitting the surface. It is hitting those, you know, ceramic blocks. And when we screen those ceramic blocks with the georadar equipment, we found out that in some of them, there are certain oval objects, and they are sealed inside those ceramic blocks. It's seeing that that energy that's coming from underground activates those oval objects. They are placed in ceramic, and the ceramic has the feature to vibrate. And when it vibrates, then it produces electromagnetic field, and that's what we can measure by our instruments. And we could measure that the field is between 28 and 32 kilohertz. So now you have a power source. You have electromagnetic fields, you know, on the top of the pyramid and in the tunnels. And what happened? Those tunnels are filled with the stones. And when we analyze them, when you cut them in half, you can see that they are actually the quartz crystal. Now, when electromagnetic field hits the quartz crystal through the piezoelectrical effect, quartz crystal produces electromechanical phenomena, which is ultrasound. So somebody was so smart in the past to produce all these different energy fields. Now, we need to find out what's the purpose of it. But we already can notice some very interesting healing properties of the underground labyrinth. Namely, whoever would go in the underground tunnels, after they would come back 30 or 60 minutes later, they would feel real good. They would feel better. And especially people who are sick, for example, people who have asthma, when they enter the tunnels, you know, they can breathe so easily, much better than outside. So we started looking, you know, into the healing properties of the tunnel. So one of our associates from Slovenia, you know, he has the equipment to measure the energy field around our bodies, which is also well known as the aura. And using the methods very similar to Killian photography, you know, from the Russian scientist from St. Petersburg University, you know, he had research with about 100 people, the volunteers, the tourists, researchers, before they entered the tunnels and after they came back. And the conclusion is, in 80% of cases, the aura was getting much improved after visiting the tunnels. And the improvements were between 10 and 40%. So obviously there is something really beneficial for human body inside those underground labyrinths.
So you have, I mean, you have an electromagnetic beam that is directed into the sky, emanating from the top of the pyramid, that gets stronger the farther away from the pyramid. How did you measure that? Did you fly with a helicopter over the
pyramid? No. What we did, we measured the strength on the surface, 3 meters higher, and then 6 meters higher. And it was getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And, you know, vice versa. As it's getting deeper in the pyramid, it's getting weaker. And somewhere 90 meters inside the pyramids, it stops. Its value is zero.
How did you measure that? I mean, did you get...
Well, you can apply the formula. Mm. You can see, you know, the strength and the distances, so you can project when it, you know, when its result is equal to zero.
Okay, so that's actually an assumption that somewhere in the middle of the pyramid, there must be the source of this beam.
There must be a source, but that's a very unusual source, because our technology is what is called Hertzian technology, which tells us that as you are closer to the source, the energy is stronger. As you move away from the source, the energy is getting weaker. But in this case, it's opposite. So it is some type of the non-Hertzian phenomenon. And guess what? The first guy who was investigating non-Hertzian phenomenon was Nikola Tesla, who was born just 250 kilometers west from Visoko. And then he went to the U.S. and in his lab in Colorado Springs, 120 years ago, he was experimenting with the wireless transportation of the energy. He built what is known as the Tesla's coil, and he was able to move the energy from one end of his lab to the other, 50, 60 feet. And just before they burned his lab completely to the ground, he managed to do one experiment. Using his Tesla's coil, you know, his transformer, he was hitting the ionosphere, which is the energy belt around our planet. And then this energy was getting much, much stronger, and it came back to Colorado Springs, and it lit up 20,000 homes with that energy from his lab. So basically, he was the first one to tell us, yes, there is a possibility for the free energy, unlimited quantities of energy, and, you know, wireless transportation. It was 120 years ago. And what did the corporation do instead of using that and the free energy, which would be the base for free society? Instead, you know, rejected the idea of using his patent, and they are, of course, building all these, you know, thermo and hydro and nuclear power plants and all these cables to transport the energy and to sell us in a very expensive manner. So I think that the future does belong to the free energy. And in the case of Bosnia, we have not only pyramidal structure, but we have the energy machine, which was built in distant past, over 10,000 years ago. And that machine still works. And this is probably the first perpetual mobile machine. And it is here in our neighborhood, like you said, only 1 hour flight from Vienna to Sarajevo.
Yeah, it's pretty close. Yeah, I thought 2 hours is probably much too much. Okay, I mean, that's really astonishing. I mean, when I first heard of this energy beam, I was a bit taken back, I have to say. And you also then mentioned that there are those ultrasounds and infrasounds. And now we are talking about sound. Yeah, we're talking about waves in the. So yes. About acoustic sound. Yeah.
Tarek, in the tunnels. Probably because of the ultrasound, we have noticed that there are no bones, no animal bones. And the animals, even today, even though the tunnel is open, you know, for public, you know, the dogs, the fox, the cats, they can get in. They never go in. Why? Because of the ultrasound. We cannot hear the ultrasound, but they can hear the ultrasound. It seems they are producing purposely different sounds, different waves, in order to keep all the animals out and to have only humans or humanoids inside. So this is really amazing. So somebody knew how to produce different types of energy. And our, you know, luck is that by using our instruments, we can measure those different types of energies. Now, you know, we need to answer the questions why. Why they were using the energy beam? What was the purpose of the ultrasound or infrasound? How it can affect the body and, you know, our molecular structure? Obviously, you know, we are getting close to some answers. Namely, the pyramids, at least the original pyramids, the original design pyramids in the ancient past, were not built as a tombs for the kings or the pharaohs. But the purpose was much, much more important. Now, with the energy beam on the Bosnian pyramids, with the ultrasound emanating from Bosnian pyramids, with the previous knowledge about the pyramids, we know that there is an energy flow within the pyramid. And then there is another type of the energy that goes off the pyramid, affecting in beneficial way the crops and agriculture. It seems that the ancient people were building the pyramids as the energy machine. They could affect in a positive way the life of the planet, but with the energy beams, probably they were able to do some communication in the universe. That's one. As far as the underground complex, and the Bosnian underground tunnels is not the only one. Let me remind you that under one Egyptian pyramid, the Step Pyramid in Saqqara, there is underground labyrinth at least 8 kilometers radius. There are underground tunnels under the Giza Plateau that connects Cheops, Khafre, Meserem, and the other pyramids with the Sphinx, with the River Nile. There are underground tunnels under the Chinese pyramids in the Shanxi province in central China. There are underground tunnels in the city of Teotihuacan and the sun and the moon, Quetzalcoatl and the other pyramids. So it seems that that was a common feature for the original pyramid complexes. And we have underground tunnels in Bosnia. And the purpose was not to serve one dead man, a pharaoh or a king, but the purpose was to benefit the living people, the living communities, to affect their health. Because what is the most important thing in our lives? You know, when we are young and healthy, we have 1,000 wishes. But when we are sick, we have only one wish, to get healthy again. So the ancients built the underground tunnels as a place to regenerate, to revitalize their bodies. If they go there on a daily or weekly basis, they would keep their bodies healthy with the energy surrounding them. So it was more like preventive, you know, healthy, you know, therapies. So I would say that we are very close in answering that most important question: what was the purpose of the pyramids and underground complex?
And you say that the frequency of the electromagnetic beam emanating from the top is 28 kilohertz. Do you also know the frequency of the infra and ultrasound?
Yes, the ultrasound is between 28 and 32 kilohertz. Now, like I said, that's something that we cannot hear. But in order to have that frequency, you have to have artificial source. One possibility is to have mechanical device. The second possibility is to have electromagnetic machine. And the third possibility is to have piezoelectrical effect. Namely, in last 6 decades, we noticed that when you press the quartz crystal, you have the energy coming out. If you keep pressing it, then you have some type of the, vibration. Vibrational energy, you have sound. So this is what we call piezoelectrical effect. So it seems that by producing electromagnetic field affecting the quartz crystal, which is in large quantities on the pyramid and in the underground tunnels, they were producing, you know, electromechanical phenomena, which is known as the ultrasound. And again, the frequency from 28 to 32 kilohertz, and we need to find out why that frequency is so important, why it was so important for the ancient people. And the infrasound, it is below 20 hertz, and what was the purpose of infrasound? So we have not answered, you know, all the questions, but every time when we measure something, we try to find the answer, you know, what does cause this energy or this vibration, and what was the purpose. So when I started the interview, I told you this was the most exciting time that we live in, and I would say that the Bosnian pyramid discovery is probably the most exciting and the most important discovery, not only in archaeology, but one of the most important in the science in general.
Yeah. So, and of course, my next question will have been, what do you think that 28 to 32 kilohertz means? Why in this range? And yeah, that's indeed a very interesting question to ask. And
well,
I'm sure it
time
can.
Time will tell us. But 7-8 months ago in Taiwan, the Taiwanese scientists in in their labs, they realized that that frequency, the ultrasound, is very important, and it affects all the living forms, even humans. And I'll tell you why. We humans, we act as two entities, our bodies. You know, you have our head, which is one entity, and the rest of the body is the other entity. And the rest of the body is fed by the blood. Through the blood, we are getting all the, you know, food and all the materials. But the brain is fed differently, not by blood, by different, you know, brain liquid. And between the blood and the brain liquid, there is what is called BBB, blood-brain barrier, which prevents the blood and all the viruses to go to the brain, because the brain is our most important part. Also, on symbolical level, the brain is symbol for our physical world. And in the rest of the body, behind our chest, there is our soul. So you have soul in one entity, you have brain or physical world in the other one, but they are separated. And in the real life, those two entities and those two types of life are also separated. We lost the harmony between the physical and spiritual world. And when the Taiwanese scientists did some investigation using the ultrasound on different test animals, they realized that by using ultrasound, that the blood-brain barrier opens up, and those animals, they become one again. And probably the ancient people knew that if we are exposed to the ultrasound, we're going to become one again. We're going to have the synergy between our spiritual and physical possibilities and features. And I would say that it will be one of the major avenues where we're going to place our investigation. So this is so exciting, and like I said, the archaeologists are simply not enough to answer all those questions that the Bardian pyramids are asking them.
Yeah, I'm not sure that lowering this barrier, the blood barrier in the brain, is a good thing, actually, because also cell phones do this. I don't know if you know that one of the disadvantages of cell phones, actually that's considered a big disadvantage, is that it has been observed that this barrier is being lowered. So I'm actually not sure if that's really too helpful.
That
but okay,
we completely new investigation. What is the effect of ultrasound to our bodies? And we are just starting that research. Like I said, it was in Taiwan. Yeah. But there are some others that we can also measure. You know that all our lives we are exposed to some type of the negative radiation. You know, once we are on the surface of this planet, we have a lot of negative cosmic radiation. Some of those cosmic rays, they go through us and our planet, and they don't damage us. But there are some others, and they make a lot of damage to our bodies. And our body cells, they try to fight the intruders. They fight that enemy. There are some things like they are known as the Hartmann grids, and in the places where those lines intersect, those places are very bad for our bodies. There are Kiris grids, there are Schneider's grids, there are underground natural radioactivities, also bad for us. And finally, there are underground waters. They bring the energy, which, for example, if you have your bed in your bedroom above the underground waters, 10, 15 years after, you're going to get sick because that energy is bad for us. Yeah. So like I said, all our life, our bodies are exposed to the negative energy. And there are instruments developed by Russians which can measure those radiations. And what we did, we measured the radiation outside the underground labyrinth in Bosnia and then inside. And guess what? Inside, all the values were equal to zero. In other words, there were no negative radiations in underground labyrinth. No Hartmann grids, no Schneider's grids, Kiris grids, underground radioactivity, or negative effects of underground waters. So somebody designed and built this underground tunnel network as the most secure place. And it was built 20 meters below the surface. So, elements like this are telling us that those builders, the tunnel and pyramid builders, were very smart and they knew exactly what they were doing and what kind of energy effects they're going to have by building the complex.
One listener also asked in the chat, what about official support? I mean, apparently, the wider scientific community is not embracing the idea of huge pyramids in Bosnia, because otherwise a lot of people would have heard from that, and that's not really the case. So, what's the official reaction? Official institutes of archaeology and historical investigation. What is their reaction to this work?
I came up with the idea in October of 2005 that the pyramids in Bosnia were discovered. The first reaction of a few Bosnian archaeologists, historians, and geologists were very negative. They were saying it's impossible that we had pyramids in Bosnia, that we had advanced civilizations here. You know, just 5,000 years ago, there was only primitive cavemen in Bosnia. That was their reaction. But, you know, instead of arguing with them, what we were doing, we have been investigating, you know, using so many different scientific disciplines. We were measuring everything. We were inviting the leading, you know, world's archaeologists, Egyptologists, physicists, geologists, geophysicists, medical anthropologists, and we were accumulating a wealth of scientific knowledge about the Bosnian pyramids. Now, there are some things that they are very obvious. The shape. If you have the shape of the pyramid, four triangular faces, obvious corners, perfect orientation, and the pyramid is covered, you know, with the concrete blocks, and there are inner passageways in the pyramid, there is underground tunnel network. For every normal man, with the common sense, it's obvious that you have artificially made complex. But then we went a step, you know, ahead. We were looking for the answers, what was the purpose. How did mainstream archaeology and history react? Well, again, negatively. You know, Bosnian archaeologists, they're connected to the European Archaeological Association in London with Anthony Harding, and they were trying to stop the project. They were writing several petitions to start the project to the Bosnian government. And then the Bosnian officials, the Bosnian prime ministers, they were coming to you know, site, and when they saw the rectangular blocks, when they saw concrete, the tunnels, thousands of tourists, they said, this is good for country, don't worry about the jealous scientists from Bosnia or from London or from US. So instead of us arguing with them, you know, we knew that they had no scientific arguments in their hands. And as a matter of fact, they never came to the site. Even archaeologists or historians from Bosnia, from Sarajevo, from Tuzla, from Croatia, from England, from US, they never showed up, but from their cozy chairs and their cabinets in London, in New Orleans, in Boston, they were saying, oh, there is nothing there. Well, that's not good enough for science. The opinions are irrelevant. The only thing that is relevant is the scientific argument, sample testing, radiocarbon datings, and that's exactly what we have been doing. And to answer fully to your question, what is the support here? Well, we have support from the town of Visoko, the town where the pyramids were discovered. We have been having the support from the regional government, the canton in Zenica, because they've been giving us the permits to do the digging. They are helping us financially to some extent. And finally, from the federal government, we have decisions from the federal government that give us a full support. Now, you have to know that for the first time in Southern Europe, non-profit, non-government foundation called Archaeological Park, Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun Foundation, have been formed exclusively for the archaeological research. So some of the government agencies, museums, archaeological departments saw us as the competition. And frankly, have you ever heard in the last few decades that some archaeological discovery was done in Bosnia? No, you have not. So, you know, they were living on budget, they were not doing much, and all of a sudden, you have a group of enthusiasts, not the people who are paid by the government money to do a job, but people who love research, pyramids, ancient history, and its country, Bosnia-Herzegovina, doing the research, dedicating their time, money, efforts, and energy, and gathering volunteers from all over the world to become a part of this history-changing process. And, of course, there were a lot of jealous people. But again, they are irrelevant. The only thing that we appreciate is the concrete help and support. Or if they think differently, let them prove their point. Let them do the analysis. You're going to give them the same samples. Let them prove that this is a natural make. But it's impossible because it is so obvious and so many scientific arguments. In 2008, we held the first international scientific conference on Bosnian pyramids. 55 archaeologists, Egyptologists, geologists, geophysicists, physicists came from 15 countries, from Egypt to China, from UK to Italy, from Saudi Arabia to Hungary, Croatia, Bosnia, and they all concluded that the Bosnian Valley of the Pyramids is not natural phenomenon, but archaeological phenomenon. And this year, in September of 2011, we are going to have a second international scientific conference about the Bosnian Pyramids, looking for the answers. What was the purpose of Bosnian Pyramids? And even though we don't have much money, we hardly have any money, we continue with this project, hoping that international scientific community, that some potential investors in this scientific project, but also in touristic development of Bosnia, will recognize this is globally important. We have to come there, invest, and help this project tell us how we can make some better decisions in the future. Because with all this energy phenomenon, we have potential to change our future for better.
Yeah, now we're coming at the end of our show. Unfortunately, it went much too fast. One obvious question that I have to ask, although you might not have a conclusive answer, but who built this? I mean, who did this? I mean, it was done longer than 10,000 years ago. We can say that quite with quite some certainty, yes. I assume. But who? I mean,
who built the city of Teotihuacan in Mexico? We don't know. Who built the Giza pyramids? We don't know. Who built those pyramids that are assigned to Sneferu, three of them, Red, Bent, and the one in Meidum? We don't really know. Who built all these Peruvian pyramids? Who built those underground cities on the bottom of Pacific floor between Japan, Taiwan, and China? Who built the Bosnian pyramids? Who were able to build Machu Picchu thousands of years before Incas, who were able to move 1,200 tons blocks in Baalbek? Obviously, the answer is the same. More advanced civilizations than us. If we think that in the 21st century, we are the most technologically advanced, the most intelligent, and the most beautiful beings ever on this planet, we are deadly wrong. But instead of behaving as the professors, you know, who think that after getting the position and titles and PhDs, that they know everything, instead of this approach, if we behave as students all our lives, then there is a hope for us.
So the short answer is we simply don't know, but we know that this civilization must have been in some areas more advanced than we are.
Yes.
And as you also mentioned in the beginning of our conversation, there are very big parallels between those huge structures, pyramidal structures, thousands of them in Mexico and all over the world actually, and also in Northern America. And there are a lot of similarities that lead one to assume, or you have to assume, that there was a connection between all those cultures. So also in my conversations with Klaus Doner, we always came to the conclusion, well, there must have been a global civilization on this planet more than 10,000 years ago, which is quite a astonishing hypothesis.
Of course there was. This planet is a very small planet in the universe. Our star system, the solar system, is a very small one. And to think, first of all, that we are the most advanced, and secondly, that we are the only one in the universe, It just shows how weak our knowledge is. Of course there are more advanced civilizations in the past, and of course there will be more advanced in the future. One day, when another global catastrophe hits this planet, when 99% of humanity is gone forever, those who survive and who start from the beginning, thousands of years after, they will think that they are the only one, and they will be wrong again.
Yeah, most probably, yeah. Planet of the Apes. now, looking into the future, we have about two to three minutes max here. What are your plans? I mean, obviously, you can make very good use of donations. So let's repeat this here. If someone wants to support you, they can donate money, but they can also come and help with the dig. So you can come to Bosnia. You have a very nice people live together there. They cook together, and then they work on the dig all day. And it's not only healthy; it's they're doing something for our own, for the whole of humanity.
You see, I was born Bosnian, and I spent last 20 years of my life in the U.S. And then in January of this year, I came back permanently. So I live here permanently because this country is one of the most beautiful countries in the world. When you see these green hills, when you see the abundance of water and rivers and lakes, you realize there was a good reason for the ancient people to come and live here for thousands of years. So there is always something to show. Unfortunately, Bosnia has been known because of the war and the violence and the corruption and all the war criminals. But we want to change that with this project. Now we want to talk about the archaeology and the cultural heritage and the volunteers and the archaeological tourism. We want to see not only tens of thousands of tourists like in the last few years, but hundreds of thousands and millions. And everything we do in that direction. Every year we organize international summer camps for volunteers. Last year we had 500 volunteers from 30 countries. And you know, before they came, they were asking us questions like, is it safe there? Can we come with our cars? Is the war still going on? Well, the war was over 15 years ago. We want to change the face of the of Bosnia. We want to bring people. We want to open this country for the new ideas, for the capital, for the tourism, for the tourists. This year we organize again international summer camp. People from 42 countries are coming to Bosnia from 6 continents. That's amazing. Right now I got more than 50 people from 16, 17 countries, and every shift. And the shifts last for 2 weeks. Every shift we have new people, 50, 60, 70, from 10, 15, 20 more countries. And when they go back to Budapest or to Vienna or to Miami or to Kuala Lumpur, they're going to become the Bosnian ambassadors there. They're going to be talking differently about this country, how beautiful it was, how unique experience they have, and how unique opportunity they have in their lives to become a part of the biggest and most important archaeological project in the world. 5 or 10 or 20 years from now, they will be able to say, hey, I was there in the beginning and, you know, I did my part. So they're not just witnessing what we have been doing, but they became involved. They became very active part. And that's the beauty of this, what we do. There are no secrets in our case.
Yeah. Sam, we are coming to the end. Sorry. But yes, I think this is a very important work. I hope that people get curious about it and join you. I would love to visit this place. I might be able to do it this autumn, and I'm very much looking forward to it. I thank you a lot for being live on my show. I hope we can do this again. It was a lot of fun and was very interesting, and I wish you all the best for your work.
Thanks a lot, and hope to see you here.
Okay. Have a nice evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Ja, das waren die bosnischen Pyramiden. Sam Osmanagić, Osmanagić eigentlich. Ich habe den Namen immer ein bisschen falsch ausgesprochen. Jedenfalls unglaublich. Also eine Flugstunde von hier entfernt und ich werde mir das auf jeden Fall mal anschauen und bin schon sehr gespannt. Das nächste Mal, Crop FM, geht es um We Are Change und freie Energie. Eva und Markus und We Are Change Austria sind live zu Gast und sprechen über alternative Möglichkeiten der Energieerzeugung und was sich dadurch dann alles ändern würde. Sehr viel nämlich. Freue mich schon sehr. Wie gesagt, zu hören ist das Ganze am 29. Juli 2011. Bis dorthin, danke fürs Zuhören und macht es gut.
Reagan the second, they laid down the tools and play. But I was a friend he made. Oh, what a sucker, took his laser blade. Gonna make himself fade.